This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You're listening to WGN Radio. Thank you for that. Pete Zimmerman is the producer. I'm John Williams. A little later on, we'll talk to Philip Weiss. He is the president of a company called Cyfarth, and he'll be talking to us about, among other things, how much productivity we lose every year. This is the once-a-year conversation about lost productivity due to March Madness. Unfortunately, Chicago stands to lose a lot of productivity this week and next week because of Loyola's continued success. In our studio, though, is Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Visit thelasallenetwork.com. Tom, thanks for coming into the studio.
Good to be with you. Bah humbug on the lost productivity. I mean, that's let people enjoy it for a little while.
Well, you know, I just saw the other day, actually it was in our news a minute ago, that some companies are not having Zoom Fridays, no in-office Zoom meetings to give people a break from the computer and the Zoom, which has been, we've discovered, more stressful than we first thought. I like that.
I think that's great. I think the whole computer thing, though, is crazy because when people are in the office, even if they're not Zooming, they're looking at their computer screen all day.
So you don't think it's a life of Zoom meetings isn't stressful?
No, I think working a lot is stressful.
Yeah.
I think there's more work being done now, it's not Zoom fatigue, it's work fatigue.
Maybe that's it. So maybe though, that is one way to skin the cat then. If we reduce Zoom, then we've at least lowered the work pressure.
A little bit.
But I do think there's also something separate from this work, and that is work via Zoom. There was an article last week, not that that is an end-all, but they just said Zoom fatigue is different than office fatigue. And you're making a squishy face.
Well, my belief on that is in the office, you have more downtime. You go to the kitchen, you shoot the bull with somebody after a meeting, you're sitting around and talking, you walk outside and get a coffee, you go to the bathroom and you meet somebody in the hallway. There's a lot of downtime that people don't calculate.
Do you think that's a bad thing?
I think that's a fine thing. Yeah. And I think now when you're at home and it's meetings are scheduled and they're back to back to back because there's no one else to BS with, that it's just work fatigue. People who were working from home pre-COVID weren't working at this level. What this has done has shown what really working 8 or 9 hours straight really is.
8 or 9 hours of productivity. If you
Correct.
Were in a factory, you'd work 2 hours, take 20 minutes. You'd work 2 hours, take 30 minutes for lunch. You'd work 2 hours, take 15 minutes. I'm trying to remember what the break
You'd
was like.
You'd also be paying $150 a paycheck for union dues or whatever it is.
Maybe so, but I mean, there is at least built-in breaks on a regular office or shop day for some people.
Yeah, well, there's going to be, and this isn't exactly what we're talking about, but I think where you're going to see a huge divide in this country is blue-collar and service workers versus white-collar workers.
What are you talking about?
So I'm in the factory and I'm working. I can't go work on a beach. I can't go on vacation and not get PTO. And the white-collar worker right now of the whole return to work, which we're talking about, is for the white-collar worker. The blue-collar worker's there all the time. So eventually, you're going to have people that are making the widgets, that are doing the job, they're delivering the trucks, that are doing all these things, working the cash register at Walgreens, and they're going to say, hey, wait a second. Whether you're paying me $15 an hour, $30 an hour, $80 an hour, I have to be here every day. Why does Sally and Mark get to work from the beach in Miami?
We'll get to that in just a minute. They are calling more employees back, maybe not because they want to be equitable, but maybe because it's time to come back. What does LaSalle Network do?
So we're still a voluntary basis. It's remote. And so we're letting people do that for the time being until that everybody who has a shot can get a shot. We're not putting the cart before the horse.
How many people are we talking about?
About 240.
In Chicago or throughout the country?
We do a centralized model, so we're in 38 states, but we're majority of us are in Chicago.
And what's your business? What do you guys do?
We are a staffing and recruiting firm, so we help companies find white-collar employees from IT to accounting, HR, marketing, so on and so forth.
I was mentioning vaccine envy a little while ago. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that a thing?
I think it's a real thing. I think people are, you know, you have something I want, and you're flaunting it to me. And people are jealous. On the flip side, you also have people that are going to want to work with people who come to the office sooner. There's going to be a little bit of FaceTime. And so if somebody has the vaccine, maybe they're more willing to come into the office, and you're going to create really interesting politics within the office setup.
Oh, you mean some of us will and some of us won't be?
Correct.
Vaccinated. What would you make of wristbands or something like that? I don't know. Some way to segregate. God, that would be ugly. People sort of moving to the other side of the hallway because here comes a yellow wristband and
I'm
a green
wristband. I feel like we're moving towards Hunger Games or one of those sci-fi things.
And moving
I'm, I'm
towards.
Not, I'm not for that. I'm a big believer in the vaccine. I'm a big believer in people working together and collaboration that comes out of it, and we should move towards normal.
But I do, we'll pick it up here in just a minute. I do think that how you talk about you getting the vaccine, and maybe once upon a time it was you got a raise or you got a, I don't know, you got the best parking spot. The way you talk about your good fortune at work versus somebody who doesn't have that same good fortune is acute right now, and I think we should think about that. With Tom Gimbel, the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. 1221 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Tom Gimbel in our studio, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network, thelasallenetwork.com. So he does staffing for, I guess, white-collar positions around the country?
Exactly right.
Let's just finish that conversation. I want to move on to some other things. But the way I think that you talk in the workplace about your vaccine, maybe it's the way you should or should not talk about your raise or promotion. Do you see any similarities there?
I think there's a lot. I think people shouldn't flaunt it. We live in a world of, as you and I were saying, of social media, where people want to go and they can't say they're in Mexico. It has to be at the Ritz-Carlton. They can't go and say they got a new car. It has to be a new Tesla. And now it's saying, you know, I have to show you on a video that I got my shot and what happens. And I think that it's, some things are better left unsaid and to enjoy the moment on your own. And you know, I know we're getting more societal than business, but you should, one of the things that companies don't do that they used to do is really teach social etiquette and show people how you need to behave to get promoted. And that's been lost.
That's an interesting point. How you should behave. You should behave just because that's a nice way to behave. But by the way, it will be to your advantage.
Absolutely.
If you're a better team player in the office. More businesses are sending their employees back into the office.
More businesses are requesting for their employees to come back to the office.
That's different than what I asked.
I think it's a little bit of a nuance there.
Yeah. And do you take a position on that?
You know, it's really an interesting juxtaposition. My business, like a lot of others, is doing crazy good right now. Business is better than pre-COVID.
Recruiting.
Companies are hiring. It's fantastic. At the same time, and that's remote. And at the same time, I firmly believe that collaboration, working together is better. And
In person.
And I'm trying to figure out the right roadmap to give employees more flexibility, which is a recruiting and retention technique, and also do what I believe is best for our clients.
Have you recruited people or have your clients hired people who they would not have were it a face-to-face meeting?
I believe so, yes.
Because of the inefficiencies of telecommunications of Zoom?
Yeah, absolutely. But on the flip side, I also think you've hired, the companies have hired some good people that they wouldn't have hired and some, you know what I mean? I think it's a two-way street.
So what are some of the efficiencies that we've gained via Zoom? Like, maybe it's not perfect, but there's also a lot of better things about telecommunication too.
Yeah, well, my belief is it's interesting because you can really judge people. I know my daughter would say, don't judge, Dad. You can judge people by their preparation. So what is their, where do they have a fake screen in back of them? Do they have they made their bed? Do they have the judgment to prepare for this interview? Are they wearing sweatpants or a sweatshirt? Or are they wearing a nice dress shirt? And I think there's little nuances like that where if somebody was coming in, you know how they dress.
Well, I think that's always been true in the in-person interview. You say, boy, you're doing a real good job here, but I'd like to see your living room or your bedroom or your car, something that would tell me more intimately about what I'm
How you
here.
Live your life, right?
Yeah, right. And maybe that's none of your beeswax too, Mr. Employer. Maybe it was a better world where you didn't see the fact that I have a sloppy bedroom or living room.
No one cares until somebody does something wrong, right? Nobody cares about the CEO or the executive leader, salesperson, until they get the DUI or there's a harassment claim. Then they want to go through everything in their life.
Then they wish they'd known more.
Exactly right.
How much, though, should the employer have a right to know about that employee's personal life?
That's a very, well, that goes back to the whole social media and Googling and finding out what's going on. And I think it goes back to how public somebody makes their life. So if somebody's going to be all over social media with political statements or what they're feeling, and that can alienate a client, why can I tell you have to wear a suit and tie? But there's other things that I can't tell you.
So do you recommend or do you all Google employees or prospective clients?
We do everything we're allowed to do within the law. So we do criminal background checks and things along those lines. What you do for one employee, you have to do for all.
You do. So maybe don't cut out too much work for yourself if you don't want to do it for everybody.
Correct.
Are they Googling me, though? Because I got a kid who's going to be entering the work world soon.
They're Googling you.
They are. They will. And they'll look at your Facebook or your Twitter.
They want to know what you're doing. Absolutely.
And what if the stuff that you're putting out there is funny, but it's, you know, not the sort of thing I would say in the office?
Well, I believe that that really, you know, people talk about company culture all the time, John, right? And so the interesting dynamic is, do you want to work for a place that wouldn't appreciate, right? I mean, people go, oh, I really wanted that job. It's not fair that they saw that post. Well, wouldn't you want to work for a company that's okay with that post?
I don't know. I mean, you're saying, hey, company, allow people irreverence and sometimes...
No. I'm saying that different companies are for different people.
Oh.
And there's some companies that are going to be very stated true.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, either way.
And you don't want to, instead of being mad that you didn't get a job, why not be happy because that company would stifle you when you were there?
Fair enough. Thank you very much. I'm glad you saw it. I'm glad you didn't hire me because I don't want to work for you if you don't think that's me, by the way, out there.
Hey, if I have to change after going on a date with you and dress differently and act differently, maybe you're not my life partner.
That's one way to look at it. How robust are you on the economic recovery right now?
I am all in. I am, and I'm not one way or another. I'm pretty much a centrist, but my belief, I've never seen companies so aggressive to hire. I've never seen the job market so robust. I'm talking to 30 or 40 CEOs and CFOs and heads of people, talent every day, and everybody is moving forward.
We're talking about middle management for big companies? Is that what you're looking
at? Across the board.
Give me an example.
Salespeople getting hired, from sales VPs down to entry level SDRs and BDRs to...
What are SDRs?
They're like appointment schedulers, mm-hmm. right? And then you have our IT. IT's always going to be booming, right? Because that's changing 24/7. So good economy or bad economy. Accounting and finance, busier than ever, back office, because there's so much money on the sidelines, either for these SPACs, companies going public, or for private equity purchase and sales, that companies are really building up their operational groups.
Somebody that was furloughed then and is not in the job market now, what area would you suggest to them they adapt their resume to look attractive for?
I think it's less about trying to be attractive for something and trying to really figure out what you like and what you want to do. I'm not a firm believer that says you like golf, so you should go work in the golf industry. I am a firm believer that says if you're good with numbers, you should do accounting. You should do something with that.
But for the person who is sidelined, who is 47 years old or 53 years old, is there mm-hmm. a job for them?
There's absolutely a job for them. The question is, were you good at that job?
Well, yeah, but I got furloughed because of the pandemic. And
the majority of companies didn't say, give me a list of our best people and let's furlough them first. And I know I sound like a little bit of a tough guy when I say that, but you do have to look in the mirror and say, of the whole company, why was I let go first? Why was I furloughed first?
Fine. But I think there's plenty of people that say it was because they decimated our department and it wasn't about me.
That's absolutely true, unless there's somebody who has the same exact job as you and they're still there.
So what do I do to get that job back?
So that's a very interesting question. The better question would have been asking 8 months ago what you need to do. Right? But today the question is, what we're asking in interviews of people who are furloughed, and we're hiring a lot of those people, is tell me what you've been doing during the furlough for self-improvement. And if you don't have a good story, see you later.
Tom Gimbel is the founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. Visit thelasallenetwork.com. Nice of you to come into the studio today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be up here.
Just looking at the editorial in the Tribune, and I noticed they were borrowing the same analogy I did. We've got this vaccine thing, and it's golden. They were comparing what Rod Blagojevich said to what happened over at Loretto Hospital. More WGN Radio News at the top of the hour. I said it first, Your Honor. It's 12:37. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm John Williams. I guess that doesn't have much to do with business. Right now, we're talking business with Philip Weiss, the president of Seyfarth at Work. Visit Seyfarth.com. I'll spell that for you in just a second. Hey, Philip, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Great, John. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about March Madness and what that means to productivity in the office. What's the general wisdom about that?
Yeah, I mean, and the wisdom is the key word, because there are a lot of fears among managers and executives that with so many people working from home this year, there'll be very little accountability, very little opportunity for managers to walk by someone's desk and kind of keep them focused on the work because there's no physical proximity. Whether that truly is a wise conclusion is yet to be seen. It's kind of like the beginning of the pandemic, where so many managers feared their employees would not stay true to the work, stay accountable, but in fact, people ended up working more hours from home than less. So that remains to be seen.
So is that a general truth about the pandemic, that in the last year, people who have been working at home, the employer is getting more value out of them, more bang for their buck?
Yes, and exactly. Now, if we had a pandemic that lasted another year, which no one wants, then the trajectory might change because there's so much of this Zoom fatigue, et cetera. But up to this point, if you look at total hours worked, it was the employees that had trouble drawing boundaries between their work and family time, and they wanted to get the work done. So remains to be seen if that kind of formula will apply to stopping the streaming and stressing the work at home.
And for those of you keeping score at home, I think we are in the second year of the pandemic right now. It's after St. Patrick's Day in my book. So here we go again. I mean, this is all feeling just a little too familiar, to be honest with you. But about March Madness, which we did not have last year because of the pandemic, people are able to now put a TV on, maybe multiple screens, watch games, and still do their work. Isn't it a matter of multitasking? With the volume down, I can watch the Loyola game and still do spreadsheets or whatever, can't I?
Yeah, and that's what we suspect is going to be happening, is already happening for many workers. There's a parallel argument, which is the ability to develop some camaraderie, to connect over March Madness and other countrywide traditions, is more important than ever, given the stress of the pandemic. And what we're seeing is employees are making good decisions in terms of, just as you said, keeping the games on, but keeping their attention focused on the work. In some cases, you've got some basketball aficionados who have gone way overboard. So managers should not stay completely clear of that vigilance standards, but it's also important not to go the other way. Some managers have made the March Madness tradition almost mandatory for their employees, John, by encouraging them to join the pools to the point that employees can't say no. So it's kind of a Goldilocks management standard. Let them do it to some extent. Stay vigilant about the work product.
Is it legal to have an office pool?
Yeah, great question. Technically, most pools probably skirt the law at a minimum, and that's because people are wagering amounts of money. There's no license, obviously, for a small company pool under state law, and particularly if you got a company with people in different states who are playing online, which would be the case with each other, there's federal laws that really directly address that. The reality, though, the practical reality is, if you have a pool, particularly a non-money pool, where you might give away company swag or offer a prime parking spot when people return to the office, that kind of incentive, which focuses on the fun, not the profit, is likely going to be much safer than a big money pot.
Our watch part. So the answer to that question is those office pools are probably illegal, even in this era of betting apps, which are legal in some states, including Illinois and Indiana. It's probably illegal, but boy, I've never heard of anybody being prosecuted for that.
Yeah, I mean, your analysis is really, really spot on. I mean, there's a big difference between licensed sports betting and a book that someone engages in on their own and an office pool where people are collecting money. And therefore, this notion that the government is going to spend its time prosecuting a small business with a small pool with a non-cash award is so unlikely. It has happened. But it's usually happened when someone else in the workplace decided they wanted to out the company because they had other grievances or someone was really forcing them to participate. Those lines are more clear.
Or they had Michigan State going all the way. But yeah, if you want to be an unpopular employee or an unpopular prosecutor, go ahead and make that case against somebody's office pool. What about the in-person parties? Like maybe everybody gets together at a bar afterwards or in the lunchroom. Any advice for employers and employees on that?
Yeah, so for employees, obviously, be very cognizant of the latest CDC guidelines. Don't let March Madness create an exception in terms of your own level of vigilance on safety and protocols. For employers, it's kind of a different issue. They should make sure that they're not overreacting to, for example, a single shot of somebody, a single photo that appears on social media. with a mask down and with someone nearby. That may have been the one moment the person lowered their mask to have a bite of pizza. So if you have someone who is gloating online about having traveled to a tournament in a real hot spot, that merits action. Beyond that, you want to check with your local laws, check your company policies, really line up your ducks before you take action against employees, but remind them all to stay safe.
Philip Weiss from Seyfarth at Work, Seyfarth, Seyfarth.com. Okay, Philip, best, do you have a team, by the way, Philip?
Well, I'm from Michigan, and it's our last hope in the Big Ten, so I'll leave it at that. I'm not betting on them, but that's my hope.
Wait a minute, catch me up here. Michigan State's out. Michigan is still in, right? Michigan won?
I think they're the lone survivor from the Big Ten, if memory serves. So that's all I got at the moment.
Yeah, Maryland's out too, right? So it's just, yeah. What happened to the Big Ten this year, man?
Yeah, that's the other question we could be discussing right?
Let's not. All right, Philip Weiss, we'll visit again. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
From the Wintrust Business Lunch now, we go into the WGN Radio Newsroom. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Chicago City Council is poised to approve demolition fees to protect gentrifying neighborhoods. The council's finance committee approved the proposal that would charge developers a $15,000 fee for demolishing buildings in the Pilsen neighborhood and along the western portion of the 606 Trail. Some aldermen are concerned the fee may not be legal, while others say it would penalize longtime residents who want to sell land they own to benefit from rising property values. The Chicago area housing market posted the strongest February gains on record. Sales and median prices jumped by double digits over February 2020. More homes sold last month than in any February, going back to 2008. The Illinois Institute of Technology has been awarded a nearly $780,000 grant to develop new electric aviation technology. The grant from the U.S. Department of Energy will be used to create technology to keep turbo-electric aircraft flying safely. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Agribusiness, here's Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. We are continuing to celebrate, John, National Agriculture Week, and today is National Ag Day. So be sure to hug a farmer with her or his permission, of course. Yesterday, economist Arlen Suderman of StoneX told us China is on a buying spree of U.S. corn, possibly because it thinks the world is running low on corn.
We're hearing chatter that China's climatologists may be warning government leaders of a global corn shortage in the next 6 months because of developing weather problems for Brazil's safrinha corn crop and concerning trends that may lead to a problem with the Midwest growing season coming up this summer.
Now, do the American forecasters agree with the Chinese that there could be a drought in the Midwest?
There has been an increasing trend in the models. They're all in different places on it. If you put all the models together, there seems to be more agreement on risk for west of the Mississippi versus east of the Mississippi, but the models are moving in that direction right now.
StoneX estimates China lost 60 to 70% of its hogs in 2018 to African swine fever, which was traced to the feeding of human food waste to hogs. Well, that's been banned.
So as they rebuild the hog herd, that food waste has to be replaced with something. It's being replaced with corn and other feed grains and soybean meal at a much faster pace than what I think the trade was anticipating.
A pace fast enough to cause concern about how much corn there is in the world and how long it's going to last.
My estimate for ending stocks is 1.337 billion bushels. That's getting pretty tight. There's very little margin for error. So if we have any hints of problems, this market could turn even more volatile.
Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist with StoneX. He knows his stuff. Along with being National Agriculture Day, it's also National Chip and Dip Day, National Tamale Day, National Chia Day, and a National Melba Toast Day. Please enjoy. Well, that's your Money on 720 WGN.
Amy Guth, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good. And I don't even have a Krispy Kreme donut in my hand. But what do I got to get the vaccine first, right?
Yeah, this is really interesting. And I suspect we will only see more of it. And that is some employers and some businesses are offering incentives and freebies for people who have gotten vaccines, starting with employers. That is Target, Instacart, Trader Joe's, Chobani, Petco, McDonald's, Dollar General. They're offering their workers extra time off and extra money to get vaccinated. Kroger, they're giving their workers $100 in store credit and $100 cash. Publix, another grocery store chain, is giving folks a $125 gift card to use in the store after they get both doses, and they can show that. But then we move into freebies, and Krispy Kreme Donuts is giving anybody, whether or not you work there, they're giving anybody with proof of having had a COVID vaccination a free donut. But perhaps one of the more interesting of all of the freebies that I have seen is there is a marijuana dispensary in Walled Lake, Michigan, called the Greenhouse of Walled Lake. They're giving anyone over the age of 21 with proof of vaccination a free pre-rolled marijuana joint. they're calling it the pot for shots promotion, which is a kind of clever play on words there. So I suspect we'll see a lot more of these as people are trying to incentivize people to get vaccinated.
I could see how it'd be a good promotion. Come on and get a donut for free, but then you'll buy another donut and a cup of coffee, so everybody wins. But yeah. Have you heard any reporting that, say, at a grocery store, maybe a Kroger, for some reason somebody doesn't get the vaccine, won't or can't get the vaccine, have there been lawsuits or grumblings about, I didn't get the $100 and you guys did?
No, not really. Nothing that I'm sure, right? I have no doubt someone will do that at some point. I haven't really seen much of that. I think it does, though, kind of raise some interesting questions for employers in terms of what you can do, what you can ask of your workers, but also some privacy questions. Do you even want to tell your employer whether or not you got vaccinated or things like that? And I think there's some bigger medical ethical questions. I know some restaurants locally are asking themselves these kinds of questions, because the restaurant reopening, the capacity limit, can be bypassed by people that have been vaccinated. That wouldn't count towards your 50% capacity limit. But a lot of restaurant owners were saying, hey, well, I don't really have time to go check everybody's, you know, medical records before I can serve them, much less do I want that kind of privacy game. I'm just in the restaurant game, not necessarily trying to, you know, look at vaccine records and things like that.
That's a fascinating thing. I hadn't heard that, Amy, that if at least one idea, I don't know that this is in practice in Chicago, is it, that if you can prove that you've got two shots, say, that you don't count towards the 50-person limit?
It's up to the restaurant. And most of the restaurants, Ali Marathi at Crane's Chicago Business did some reporting around this. And most of the restaurant owners that she talked to said, yeah, no, that's a lot of logistics. I just don't have the capacity to deal with. But if the restaurant decides, hey, I do want that capacity, I do want more than 50% capacity, I'm willing to invest in the personnel and train them so that people will have to show up with a, you know, proof of vaccination, that is an option that restaurants will have. You know, of course, a lot of logistic questions. One restaurant owner that she talked to said that she already uses, people have to have a required reservation. You can't just walk in. And in that reservation form, she already asked people about food allergies and things like that. So to her, that was just kind of a logical extension of okay, go ahead and tell me whether or not you've been vaccinated and then bring proof with you when you show up. But I think that'll be an interesting conversation to monitor.
We have talked about this earlier, Zoom fatigue, when Tom Gimbel was on with us from LaSalle Network. He said he doesn't think it's Zoom fatigue, it's work fatigue. I wonder if, in fact, it's not a function of Zoom as much as it is a function of work, maybe a combination thereof. Are you reading about this as well?
Yeah, I think that both things can be true. So Citigroup has decided to start giving Zoom free Fridays to workers. So, of course, if a client needs you or something like that externally, fine. But their internal meetings on Fridays will be only by phone to kind of give people a little bit of a break. They're also giving people an extra day off on May 28th. And the CEO, Jane Fraser, she announced in a memo to the staff that, you know, there's a lot going on. We've had a lot this year, and this is one way we're trying to help people kind of combat that fatigue. So I think it's probably, I'm with you, I think it's probably a little bit of both. There's Zoom fatigue, and then there's just fatigue, because it's been, you know, a lot.
By the way, somebody texted in and said, back to the vaccination proof to maybe get into a restaurant. What do we do about that? When are we going to start seeing counterfeit vaccination cards?
Yeah.
And I think I saw a story last week that some people are producing those. Hopefully it'll be a moot point in about 3 months, and that, you know, cottage industry won't have long legs. I also just wanted to talk to you briefly about Prince Harry, who has a new job.
Yeah, that's right. He has landed a new job as a tech executive. There you have it. He just moved here and already he's got a job as a tech executive. So he has joined a startup called BetterUp. He is the chief impact officer. And he's described on the website, I thought this was interesting, in the leadership team kind of markup, he's described as a humanitarian, a military veteran, mental wellness advocate, and environmentalist. Zero mention of royal, I think. People already kind of know who he is. But he's going to be, you know, he and Meghan Markle both have done a lot of, talked a lot about the impact of mental health and the importance of mental wellness. And so that's a lot of what he's going to be doing. This company, BetterUp, they do coaching around mental health services. And so he's going to be, you know, working in that space. And it'll be interesting to watch him joining Silicon Valley and moving into a very different role there.
Boy, if he were my life or mental health coach, either for me or my business or whatever, and he's working with me one-on-one, I don't think that the dynamic of that would just be so off the scale that you wonder how helpful it would be. You know, because all I'd want to do is say, what was Oprah like?
And, I know.
It would be hard to work on me, you know?
Yeah, it'd be hard to, because you'd be like, yeah, tell me about Oprah, tell me about the Queen, tell me about Prince Charles, tell me about this, what was this like, how was this? Yeah, it would be, I think, very distracting.
Ding,
but I
your
think
hours up.
Yeah, indeed.
That wasn't for you. That was, I can imagine, the scene where you'd waste too much time thinking about that.
Sure.
So the name of that company is what again?
It's called BetterUp.
All right, and now our time is up. All right, Amy, let's visit again later in the week. I appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Amy Guth on the Wintrust Business Lunch.